name is Bart Colombo. I represent John Michael Boone. In light of appellees not participating, not filing a brief, I guess I'm somewhat guided by the physician's maxim of first do no harm. But I will be happy to go through the facts with you, answer whatever questions you have. I think this case really boils down to the question of whether the trial court had the authority to change the spousal support that had been ordered in the final divorce decree pursuant to the express terms of the party separation agreement. And
I think you've got one problem at the outset, and that's your reliance on Wheatland. Wheatland is no longer good law.
Well, I understand that, Your Honor, but the legal reasoning in Wheatland is sound.
Well, actually, it's not, because Wheatland was inconsistent with Stroud, and Stroud is good law.
I understand that, Your Honor. The reason, from my perspective, is my understanding of why Wheatland is not considered good law is that while the case had been, I guess there was a petition for unbanked review, at that point the appeal was withdrawn. I imagine that the parties had...
We vacated the panel opinion.
Right. But that was based upon the request of the parties.
Correct. But
right.
The panel opinion is no longer good in that it attempted to modify Stroud.
Well, Your Honor, I think that this is another opportunity for this court to revisit this issue, because the facts are very similar, and I believe that the interpretation of 20-109A and 20-109C was correct in the Wheatland, and I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, in that particular case, in that the specific provisions of 20-109C should take precedence over the general provisions of 20-109A.
Well, what about the clear language in the PSA that says basically that spousal support shall be recalculated based upon the incomes of the parties at that time?
Right.
And recalculated meaning it's got to go back to the court.
Right, and I agree. That's the plain language, and in its initial ruling, the trial court did in fact find that at the time of that Mr. Boone involuntarily retired, that's the point in time in which the party's incomes would be recalculated.
But the court revisited that and made a different determination.
Right. The court did revisit that and make a difference, but that's why we're here.
Right.
Because I don't believe that the court was justified in revisiting that. I think the court made a correct ruling in October of 2016 when it determined that the contract of the parties, as required by 20-109C, states very clearly that spousal support is to be recalculated, I believe, is the language. So it's imperative, based on the incomes of the parties at that time.
But the problem is Stroud. Like, I keep coming back to that because it seems to really apply. And Stroud said, we conclude that a provision can be self-executing only when the triggering event is empirically determined, such as a date certain or reaching a specific age or death. This required a judicial determination whether, in fact, the triggering event had occurred. It required proof. And because it did, he's obligated to go back to court and have the court determine that this triggering event has, in fact, occurred.
He is, and he did go back to court, and he did have that determination made.
But you can only have that modified from the date of filing, not from the date of the event.
Right, and that was really the essence of the Wheatland decision, Your Honor, is that must you get a judicial determination at the time of the event, or can you come back and get a judicial determination that is consistent?
There is no Wheatland decision. It's gone.
The legal reasoning exists.
Well, there's a good legal reasoning in the dissent, too.
There is.
But it's gone.
It's gone as well. But there certainly isn't a reason for the court to disregard the reasoning in that opinion, and I think the reasoning in that opinion is sound, and Judge Beals was one of the two judges.
It was in the majority.
It was in the majority on that opinion.
Wouldn't be the first mistake.
I know. I think at the risk...
Says someone who was...
At the risk of going back to Groundhog Day, we'll just suffice to say that Stroud is good law, and...
Yes, and I think... But I don't believe that Stroud precludes the relief that Mr. Boone was requesting in this case. And the reason for that, as I alluded to in my brief, is that this is not really a modification of a support award in so much as it's an enforcement of a pre-existing award according to its plain terms. So you have a separation agreement that mandates recalculation of spousal support, the separation.
But I think you get into trouble when you go back to the plain reading, because I think the plain reading would suggest that it's at the time of the recalculation.
I don't, well, respectfully, Your Honor, I don't know that it says that. What it says is that spousal support shall be recalculated. So the question is, if it's recalculated 2 years later or 3 years later,
but
does that matter?
Nothing that says it reverts back to the involuntary retirement.
Well, there is. It says in the separation agreement that at the happening of the involuntary retirement, and again, these were the findings of fact of the trial court were not challenged by the appellant. So, given those findings of fact, and the trial court was quite clear that Mr. Boone involuntarily retired, that upon the happening of his involuntary retirement, the separation agreement required the recalculation of spousal support based on the incomes of the parties at that time.
As Judge Decker says, it says at that time, shall be recalculated based upon the incomes of the parties at that time. So, you know, even Stroud aside, why doesn't the PSA govern and it's got to be done then and it can't be done retroactively?
Well, it's not retroactive, Your Honor, because it's based on the spousal support shall be recalculated based on the incomes of the parties at that time. At that time, applying to incomes of the parties, not applying to shall.
But based on your answer there, you could do it 10 years ago if you wanted to.
You could.
20 years ago.
You could. And you need a judicial declaration, and if you don't pursue it promptly, as in this case, Mr. Boone did not pursue it promptly, you risk a finding of contempt, and that's the risk that you take.
But the law is clear that court-ordered support becomes vested when it accrues.
Right. But
so all of these payments vested the date that they were supposed to have been paid, and the case law is also clear that courts are without authority to make any change with regard to arrearages.
Yes, Your Honor, but in order for a support amount to become due, it must accrue and vest. And what you have in a situation like this, and again, we're going by the terms of the contract, you have an event that takes place that mandates a recalculation of support. At that time, when that event takes place, the support is undetermined.
Stroud and I think it's a Green versus Miller, which is an unpublished case, both involved the provision that spousal support shall terminate upon cohabitation with another individual for a year. In both cases, it was undisputed that the spouse was cohabitating with another individual. And yet in both cases, we said that until the motion is filed to terminate spousal support, husband is obligated to keep paying. And I find both of those almost identical to this situation. A triggering event that actually occurred, but they don't come back to court and get it modified.
Right, but when the triggering event occurs in this case, it's pursuant to the terms of a contract. And
both of those were contracts. Both of those were agreements.
But 2109C requires that any decree regarding payment of support and maintenance has to be consistent with the contract. And so, you know, in a case like this, the contract requires that the support be modified at the occurrence of the involuntary retirement. Now, granted, the judicial declaration comes several years later, but there isn't any statutory law that precludes the court from going back and saying, at the time of the involuntary retirement, we're going to recalculate based...
Whose responsibility is it to go back to the court to get the recalculation done?
It's the party's responsibility, I would say.
Right.
And the parties, I mean, the record...
The parties. It's the party that wants it recalculated, right?
Well, no, I think it's an obligation of the parties to recalculate. I think it's a mutual obligation. And then once Ms. Pyle filed for the rule to show cause, at that point, that triggered the judicial review and the recalculation. And granted, if Mr. Boone had come in and evidence had shown that he was still obligated to pay spousal support based on the incomes of the parties, then he would have risked the finding that there was an arrearage.
What case can you give us that we could rely on that authorizes a court to reduce arrearages that have become vested?
Well, I can only point, Your Honor, to the reasoning that is set forth in the Wideline decision. I believe that...
I have to say that Judge Petty made a note that the Green case, that came out, if I remember correctly, almost exactly the same time as Wideline. Mm. And it's unpublished, but it's still on the books, at least, and Wideline is not.
Right, I understand. But if I would make the same arguments that the court considered in the case that's no longer out there, but I think those are valid arguments. They are reasoned arguments by this court, finding that you are not statutorily precluded from, and it's not a modification, it's enforcing the terms of a separation agreement. The statute, and again, the reasoning is that the specific provisions, the specific provisions of 2109C trump the general provisions of 2109A. I think that under these circumstances, and it is a fair and equitable result given the record in this case as well.
If you can get this up before Justice McCullough, you might have some luck.
I didn't know that it was Justice McCullough who wrote the opinion of Lila.
Yes, I was hoping to see his name here this morning.
He'd be very disappointed to be here.
We think we understand your arguments. Anything additional you want to provide?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll greet counsel and then we'll...